Acts 7, verses 44 to 60. Our fathers had the tent of witness in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it, according to the pattern that he had seen. Our fathers, in turn, brought it in with Joshua, when they dispossessed the nations that God drove out before our fathers. So it was until the day of David, who found favor in the sight of God and asked to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophet says, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep.
The word of the Lord. Man, Stephen, what a great model for us, Jeremy. And the thing that he's a model of, obviously he's an excellent preacher. We're picking up today, second half of the sermon that we looked at yesterday. Obviously a great preacher, but he's so much like Jesus.
Yeah.
And it seems like Luke kind of wants us to see that. Mm-hmm. They're remembering Stephen. I think that obviously these things that he did are true, but I think the reason he's pointing out to us all this to us is to say, remember Stephen, he was just like his Lord.
Yeah.
And I want to be just like our Lord. So what are your thoughts on this passage?
Yeah, I think that's also true. Like, that's important stuff to remember in terms of like Bible reading. Like, he's recording real events, but they're also like highlighting certain things. I mean, the Gospels are actually explicitly say that, like, there's much more that Jesus did, but we're highlighting
he's choosing these particular things.
Yeah. And so he's doing the same thing for Stephen here, I think, intentionally. Like you said, one of the things that stood out to me was verse 51. You know, he kind of like, this is like the indictment. As your fathers did, so do you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like summarizing everything that he was kind of pointing out here is like, look, they rejected God's anointed one. They all rejected the one that God had sent. They rejected the plans that God have. They continually rejected the Lord's anointed. And that's exactly
what you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
People love their temples, don't they? You know, they love their temples. I think they keep going back to this, you know, this temple. I mean, this keeps getting him in trouble. Mm-hmm. They keep talking about where the dwelling place of God is. And the Most High does not live in Solomon's temple. He, you know, the heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. Mm-hmm. You know, the temple is not as important as you think it is. And of course, we see the same kind of language before from Peter. I mean, so this is a theme. And obviously, this is really what made the folks mad, the Pharisees mad at Jesus when he said he would tear the temple down.
And Jesus wasn't like against the temple. And God's
remember,
not
Jesus
against,
defends the temple, right?
Yeah. It's all about like just not making these things ultimate things.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think, or finding your justification in them. Mm-hmm. How do I know that God is with me? Ah, I can look at the temple and see. And I think we as Christians do the same thing. How do I know God is with me? I'm a pastor of a church. Yeah. I tithe. I raise my kids. I read the Bible to my kids. I'm not like those tax collectors over there, right? It's that mm-hmm. same kind of Luke 19 prayer of the Pharisee thing mm-hmm. that they're saying, look, are you finding your confidence in the temple, or are you finding your confidence in the one who dwells within the temple?
Right.
And I think that they're finding their confidence in the temple. And so now that Jesus has come to establish a new kind of temple, the temple of his church, the temple of his spirit indwelling and filling the lives of those who call upon him, it totally tears down any other way that we desire to be justified.
Mm-hmm. And our lives sort of evidence when we're finding justification in the wrong places. And I think we even see that kind of contrast here, where Stephen is finding his identity and his justification in Christ, and they are not, like we were just talking about. I thought that just like you could compare Stephen's kind of reaction and the way that these, the ones that were accusing him of blasphemy were reacting and speaking and acting. So first of all, Stephen is like portrayed as being filled with the Spirit. But then the other guys, Stephen says that you resist the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting. And then Stephen is acting very forgiving and full of love, but then his accusers are enraged and right. full of hate. It's just a really interesting contrast between like a spirit-filled person who is that because they trust in Christ versus a non-spirit-filled person who is not trusting in Christ.
Yeah, a few days ago, before we get to this passage, we talked to with our very special guest, Ben Washer, about how Stephen's face was like an angel. Mm-hmm. And was it actually glowing like an angel or something like that? Or was it just peace? I mean, first of all, I guess we don't know that angels' faces always necessarily glow.
Right.
I guess that's an assumption we're making. But right. Stephen's filled with peace. He's filled with this poise. He's not disrupted, even though they're trying to disrupt him. Their temple gets questioned. They're totally flustered. Stephen, like Jesus, and same thing with Jesus when he was on trial, right? Pilate, remember, he's like, what's up with this guy? Why is he not responding? Why is he not losing his mind? Why is he so at peace right now? And then, of course, same thing that Jesus did. He speaks to the temple. Same thing that Jesus does. He forgives them. Same thing that Jesus does. He says at the end of his life, receive my spirit, Lord. Over and over and over, we see in Stephen the character of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think a good hope and prayer for us to close on today, Jeremy, is that wouldn't it be awesome if over and over in our life, as people consider us, they would say, I see the character of Jesus in him. And so let's seek to live that way as we follow in the footsteps of our Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But for Jeremy Brooks, I'm Jason Dees. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Our Daily Rhythm. I'm Jason Dees, one of the pastors of Christ Covenant, and Our Daily Rhythm is a ministry of our church designed to help you more faithfully and effectively meditate on God's Word. If you ever have a question for us about one of our Bible readings or one of your own Bible readings, please don't hesitate to text us at 404-465-1737. Again, that's 404-465-1737. Or email me directly at jason@christcovenant.com. We'll meet you again tomorrow for Our Daily Rhythm.